Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Coming up here is, you know, summertime is always full of so many events, and one of my favorites is to go down to the IFT, the Calumet Guts Frisbee Tournament. It is this year the 60th annual Coca-Cola International Frisbee Tournament. Here to tell us about not only that particular event, but everything that's sort of surrounding it, because it's really huge, very important year. Jeff Voss from International Frisbee Incorporated. Jeff,
hello,
welcome.
Rick. Thanks for having me.
So, does this feel different than years past?
Yeah, I'm kind of going a little crazier this year, just with everything that's kind of going on. It is, you know, it's not like it's a 50th or 75th, but I think we're getting to a point where a lot of people are getting to retire, and so the 60th is becoming a big one for us.
Well, where I see it as being, you know, maybe bigger than just a 60th is that the sport has come a long way since the last 10 years. So this is, you know, a bigger event, maybe not in magnitude, but certainly in popularity than you were 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, even in the local scene, just was it last weekend, I believe one of our local Guts team ended up winning the Wisconsin Guts Championships. That's the first time we've brought home a major trophy for a Guts tournament, I think, since 98.
Exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And those kids are good. You know, most of them just graduating high school or seniors in high school, too. So,
now, traditionally, Guts Frisbee, and we'll talk about the sport and how it's played and a little bit about the history. And we do this every year about this time in order to help, you know, create that awareness and educate people about this. You know, might be driving down US 41 through Calumet and see a bunch of guys standing in a line there over by the Agassiz statue and going, wonder what they're doing. They're playing with an orange disc or something and doesn't look like the kind of Frisbee we play at the park. So if you're wondering what, you know, that is, that's Guts Frisbee. We'll explain more about it. But, you know, I think kind of we've, you know, done a yeoman's job lately in the last few years educating more and more people. And one of the results is that you're seeing younger people play. And that's got to be also, encouraging for the future of the sport.
Well, it's been phenomenal. You know, do the hard work of the committee and then Dennis Wallakainen for going to all the high schools and doing demos. We've brought high school, you know, into the game again. It's been great watching the youth just, they get a knack for it.
Let's talk a little bit about the sport, you know, how it's played and the rules set up. You know, people are going to come out, you know, maybe they'll be their first time coming out to the IFT this year. And so we'll just get them a little bit of a baseline of understanding, you know, what the rules are and why you have five guys standing out, you know, arm's length from each other and whipping this disc at each other.
Yeah, so basically it's very antithesis of what you think of Frisbee. Frisbee, you tend to throw it to your buddy and you want him to catch it and you throw it back. Not in Guts. You want them to throw it so they don't catch it. And so you throw it as hard as you can or with tactic that you try to pick out a guy who you think that might not have the best hands, or you throw it so it comes in at an angle, which makes it much harder to catch that way. But you stand 14 meters apart. You got five guys on a team. The throwing team throws to the receiving team. If the receiving team catches the disc, then there's no points awarded. But if the disc Frisbee is uncaught, then a point is awarded to the throwing team. But if the throwing team throws it so where the receiving team cannot catch it, then a point is awarded to the receiving team.
Right. Can't be thrown too high, so about fingertips length when you've got your arms outstretched. Can't be thrown out of bounds. It's got to be thrown between the two cones.
It's got to be above ground and not vertical.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, the not vertical one, is always, as a spectator, always made me kind of wonder, because you have some guys that can whip it to its almost vertical.
I know.
Almost, but not quite, you know. You know, unless there's been some dispute, it's also, you know, a self-police game, sort of like when you play golf and, you know, the teams call their own penalties and stuff that, you know, it's like, okay, that was out of bounds. And it's usually worked out there between the two teams.
That's something very traditional just in all Frisbee sports, from beach ultimate Frisbee to double disc court. All those are self-policed, which is really nice. You know how the referees, and it takes it to it's a sportsman game. You know, you play to win, not to cheat.
Now, there's a wide range of people play, from those who are extremely athletic to those who are basically not, or who are more like me and would not be mistaken for a professional athlete on my best day. You know, so some people are very, very good. Other people play it a little bit more casually, you know. So it's not only for those that are super, super, you know, good at, you know, sports. People enjoy playing this game.
Yeah, but don't let those looks be deceiving. Some of those guys have a lot of years experience and they've got some skill. I mean, they know where to place that frisbee, so it's going to get them the best chance of scoring a point.
But well, anybody can play. It's what I guess what I'm kind of putting absolutely. You know, even in the past, of course, there's some very famous women's players that here from the Copper Country that, you know, had played in the, you know, though there hasn't been an all women's team in some time, there's nothing stopping one.
No, absolutely not. 2 years ago, we had two women's team just play more of a casual thing as part of the IFT. This year, we're really hoping to have four different teams. So actually a full-on kind of women's tournament happening one day, either Saturday or Sunday. We're still working those kinks out. But, yeah, if any women are out there who want to play, feel free. Just message us on Facebook, and that would be great. International Frisbee Hall of Fame. Or and Keweenaw Guts is the other one as well.
Matches are played till 21. You got to win by two, and then it's the best two out of three in the games, correct, before a particular one's run out? Or is that only during the championship
game? That's just in the winner's bracket.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Loser's bracket, it's just one and
done. Okay. Yep. Now, this will be, I think, my, if not my sixth, maybe even my seventh IFT that I've been to since I've been up here.
Since we moved it to Agassi Field, you've been around.
Yeah, I say I moved up here in 2011. So this would be, I guess it would be my seventh, right? Maybe sixth summer.
They're all blurring
together. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to separate them. And, you know, some of the festivities that take place at the IFT might be contributing to the fact that my memory might be cloudy on some of it. But always definitely a good time. And it doesn't take long as a spectator to, you know, kind of get an idea following the sport. And I bring that up about being a spectator is that besides having teams and besides having people participate, what makes this such a fun event and what will continue to propel it back, you know, it's got its glory days in the past, and I think it's definitely been on the upswing here in the last several years, is people coming out to cheer on the teams and take part in the event. Every year we bring out our canopy and we set up our canopy with our, mm-hmm. you know, table or radio for listening to the Tigers game, our cooler and our dog. There's food there. There's beverages there. And it's 2 days enjoying, you know, the beautiful Copper Country weather in early July and having a great time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, there's, especially for watching the cheering the local teams out, the crowds just definitely come out and they support them to the end. You know, back to the rules of all the players are usually pretty reachable. So if you ever have any questions, just ask any of them and they'll be gladly to help you and, you know, figure out the game a little bit better. But, yeah, it's fun. It's a great time.
Now, so 60 years ago, a few guys in, you know, Copper Country in Eagle, is it Eagle Harbor area?
Eagle Harbor.
That got
yeah,
together
three brothers.
The Healy brothers.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And that's where it all started. And then, you know, of course, it's gone through the gamut of being, you know, exhibition during the Super Bowl to now, of course, you have international, you call it the International Frisbee Tournament for a good reason, because you do have people from many parts of the world that participate.
Yeah, absolutely. This year Japan's coming back again, which should be really interesting for lots of different reasons, is because last year the Worlds was going on in England, and so the U.S. dominated over Japan, but I think they're coming back to get a little revenge. So this, they've been to this tournament, this might be their third time. They're bringing just one team this year, but they're always great guys to have. Fun to watch.
Yeah, they're not coming to lose.
That's Oh, no. No, they still say this is the biggest event of all the major Guts tournament. We have the nicest field, the best facility, and always the competitions at the highest level. I know guys that they would only want to win one tournament of all the majors, and it's always the IFT.
Yeah. Winning it is a special moment. You have a great trophy and a great trophy presentation. So describe that for me.
We've got the Nakazel Cup. The Nakazel Cup has gone through many transformations, but it still lives on. It was originally stolen from Julius T. Nakazel out of his garage by the Healys, which has then started the legend of the cup and how it gets stolen. And it's gone missing many, many times through the years. One time it wasn't actually there to be awarded to the California team that won in 69. So it had to be mailed to Ed Hedrick many months later. But then there's other rumors where cops were chasing somebody through the Portage Canal. And so it's turned into a legend more than anything about the stolen cup. But I mean, it's 60 years of names on that cup. It's heavy, it's oak, it's big. But when you win it, you get to drink from the cup, and that's kind of the special moment, I think, for a lot of the players to have that chance.
Yeah, so it's like the Stanley Cup type of moment, you know, yeah, where everybody, you know, hoists the cup.
The security isn't as good, though. Hence why it comes missing.
Yeah, the Stanley Cup has its own slew of stories as well, too.
But, oh, yes.
Yeah, that is such a great scene, and I've been there a number of times to get video of it. You see how much it means to win that trophy, on these guys. I mean, they've fought for this thing for several days, they all went, but including warming up and the travel and the coming here. Somebody's got to beat the Boomtown Saints.
Appleton did last year.
Oh, that's right. Appleton did. That's right. Okay, yep. Yeah, because Boomtown had won a little bit of a row.
The Shadow Bob has a chance doing it this year.
Yeah?
They're good. They turned some heads last year at the IFT, and they made a statement in Wisconsin.
Okay. So. You had teams that played in England and in the world. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those were some local players too.
Yes. Yep. There was a couple of the guys that played on Shadowbop that just won that championship in Wisconsin were on that team as well. Hmm. Though they were on team two and not team one, but they still did a great job. And, you know, it was a good exposure for those young kids and to see that high level of guts, and I think they learned quite a bit.
I've been tempted to try the sport, at full speed here. You know, my back is not in very good health, so there's certain things I wouldn't be able to throw the disc very hard, but I would be able to. I could catch it, and depending on who's throwing it, I could say but I definitely want to try it. And you recently had the Keep It On Guts Day where you gave people a chance to throw. And they actually had better weather than I think was predicted.
Right. Even though it was cold and windy, still turned out.
But it was supposed to be awful. And I think you guys, I thought maybe you would never be able to have it. And you actually did have it. Did you have people out there that tried it for the first time?
I think we ended up with like 25 people total. I think typically everybody that was there had been involved or exposed to it at some point.
Okay. Well, if you didn't get a chance to go out there, maybe the weather wasn't ideal. Surrounding the 60th anniversary, you have several days planned to make the most out of this great anniversary. Can you talk a little bit about that week?
Well, the week. It kind of starts off, if we've got at the Dam Jam, they've asked in the years past that we would run a disc golf tournament. So we're doing that in conjunction with them on Saturday to kind of help promote the week ahead. And that's called the Dam Jam Doubles, Bring a Partner. It's a two rounds of disc golf. And then we've got Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday is the 4th of July, and so everybody's kind of got their own thing going on. Wednesday, we're doing a meet and greet as people start coming into town. But Thursday is kind of the highlight of the whole week. It's kind of, for me, I think it's probably going to be one of our great days, besides the IFT, of course. We're holding it's called the Eagle Harbor Throwback Guts Tournament, where 69B is enforced. It will be in the old ball yard in Eagle Harbor. There hasn't been a Guts tournament there since 1969. That's where the original IFT was from its conception. And those people know Frisbee and they love it. But Tom Healy and Jim Bojo, the sons are now, the next generation are taking over and then running this tournament. And so it should be kind of fun. I know they've got a lot of interesting ideas and who knows what they're going to pull out when they do this, but it's going to be very low key, more family oriented. I expect my son, will take him with me. He'll play. So it's one of those great events. If you've never played and wanted to play, but get some exposure to the game, it's going to be one step to the line. You don't have guys taking 3-4 steps, and then it's got to be backhand only. So it'll be much easier to be there.
Is this part of 69B? Well, you said
69B. It's one of those mysterious rules that popped up at some point where it means you have to have a beverage in your hand while throwing. And so that's the original. That's how Guts kind of started as this fun thing. And to go back, why it actually originally was called the International Tournament is because the Healy brothers decided they would want to invite like the Queen of England, the Premier of China, you know, all these strange people that you, of course, would never come to Eagle Harbor, let alone where it is. But that's how they called it the Internationals, by inviting all these high-level politicians from around the world. But yeah, it should be just a really amazing event. Like I said, it hasn't been back there in 69. That ground, as far as flying disc sports, is kind of holy ground. It is the first Frisbee tournament and the first Frisbee sport was ever played. So it predates ultimate Frisbee, disc golf, double disc court, overalls, and everything that has to do with a disc. It all started there in Eagle Harbor. And so that's another thing that we're really trying to promote this year is the historical importance of Eagle Harbor and that ball yard. It's the birthplace of Guts Frisbee, and it's just one of those really neat places. But then after that great day is going to be done, then we're moving into Friday. Friday will start early in the morning playing disc golf tournament, which will be at Calumet Lake at the Lions Park there. That's also part we're doing, like kind of an overall. Overall is where you compete kind of a decathlon style, if you would, of different Frisbee sports. So there'll be disc golf. There's a freestyle. Actually, it's called free flow. And then there'll be distance, accuracy, speed. And then at the end of that, we'll crown a champion in each one of those events. And then as well, an overall championship or an overall champion. But going back to the free flow, Jens Velasquez is coming again this year, which is quite an honor. He is quite the freestyler, and he's one of our Hall of Fame members, but well renowned and just a great player in person. And anybody that knows about freestyle will know that name, and he'll put on another great show. But he's going to run the free flow event for us, and so it'll be great having him here to help out. He's really taken on to the IFT and kind of really personally has put his heart into it, and is always like, what do you need? What, you know, how can I help? And it's just like, wow, thanks, Jens. Whatever you want to do, you know. It's just an honor to have you here, you know. And so, and then it's a long day Friday. That will be finished up with a picnic at Agassiz Park, which will be for our sign-up registration for the weekend for the IFT. And then the IFT starts at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And then finals will be about 5:30 on Sunday.
After all the playing is done, you go back to the, which is now sort of it's a revamped Frisbee Museum there at Coliseum. Yes. So tell me a little bit about that.
So the Frisbee Hall of Fame is known as the International Frisbee and USA Guts Hall of Fame. It is on the second floor of the Calumet Coliseum, the very historic Calumet Coliseum. We've been in there for about 6 years now, but I think we've pretty much taken roots there, and it'll take them a lot to get us out. But so that's where our Hall of Fame dinner will be. We'll have it catered by Miller's Lanes, and it should be a wonderful event. I mean, we've never had that many people to push through, so it should be interesting because people tend to get a little long-winded and have got lots of stories. You know, you've been playing the sport for so long, you just keep going on. But another really interesting thing we've got going in conjunction with the Hall of Fame will be what's called a Fly Mart. And so it's for Frisbee and disc collectors to bring some of their stuff and be able to exchange with other collectors. We expect to have a very large group of collectors up this year. We were able to get 1,000 Frisbees printed in colors that haven't seen. We got white coming, which hasn't been done since the 60s. And so it's kind of pretty special that we've got all these coming, but 1,000 of them, so I don't even know what to do with them. I just lay in the lawn and dump them on myself or something, but shower and Frisbees. But yeah, so we got, you know, three different designs, so it'll be a great thing for collectors to come and if you're into that thing and grab as many as you want.
So the IFT takes place officially then Saturday and Sunday, so it starts Saturday morning. You guys have your round robin before the I guess the hard nose competition begins, the first round there, and then of course your dinner at night or in the evening. I was touching on it a little bit about, you know, getting people out there just to watch. Talk to those people about if they come out to the IFT, besides seeing some great Frisbee, what other things are they going to be able to do and see?
Well, this year we're running two different divisions, actually two different tournaments for the IFT. We have what's called our Cup Division, which is a very competitive, world-class guys competing for the Nakazel. But we also have what's called the Saucer Division, and those guys they're more novice, newer ones, or people who are trying to be gentle or past their prime, but have been playing the game and know the game very well, but don't want to see, you know, like the likes of Alex Tews throwing at you 85 miles an hour, which I don't blame him. But so they'll be actually the library team is forming a team for this year's IFT, and potentially Paul's Club, two rivals as it was back in the 70s. So they will be putting teams together and be on the field. I think there's a couple other ones too, Air Aces. Two another great teams that won the IFT for many years in a row will be out there. We have some double discourt. We'll have some demos of that going on. It's a very interesting sport where you kind of volleying the frisbee back and forth, but also the inventor of that game and great disc golfer will be there this year, Jim Palomari, which will be another honor guest to have, which I've never met the guy, but I'm actually just... Now that I mentioned it again, kind of giddy to meet him. But
in your big stack of notes that you have here in front of you, you know, anywhere in there that you have a list of people you'd like to thank that make the IFT possible?
Oh, God, the list is so long. Obviously, Coca-Cola, Hancock Bottling, has been our title sponsor since we moved to Calumet, and it's been – we couldn't really do it without them. The Scullies have been fantastic for us. Bucko's Party Store, The Pines, I'm going to miss some for sure, but McDonald's has stepped up, Aspirus, wow, yeah, the list is long, and I've been staring at it too, kind of, there's, you know, Harder's, you know, much, and then even more, like this year I started looking at a list, I'm like, we got more and more sponsors, and it's not just Calumet, I mean, it's the whole Copper Country that's been really supporting this event, you know, basically from Copper Harbor all the way down through Houghton, Keweenaw Automotive, Copper Country Ford stepped up for us this year. Who else? Erickson Crawley Funeral Home, Calumet Golf Course. I'm forgetting some, but man, it's just, like I said, thank you so much. It's been fantastic to let you guys do what we've done. We've been able to brand ourselves. We have stickers that name who we are, and now as we're kind of, it's getting ingrained in people's head, and you just kind of got to look at it, and they see, oh, that's Frisbee.
And I guess personally, I want to extend a thank you to your, you know, partner in crime who normally would be here with you, Dennis Wallachine. And Wally, of course, you know, his involvement with the IFT over the years has been extensive. He was honored for his involvement last year for, you know, promoting the sport. I mean, you know, can you say enough about what, you know, Dennis has done and what he's brought to the IFT?
That's why he won the award, the Dave Bradshaw Award. That's noted to people who have significantly changed or helped promote the game of guts. He's up there with great company. Jim Bojo Sr. was our first recipient. He literally saved the Frisbee. He went to WAMO. He said, the sport's getting too big. Don't get rid of it. They're going to mold them back down, I think, into hula hoops. And he lives in Eagle Harbor, one of another great legend story. You know, went out California and said, nope. And he single-handedly saved the Frisbee. Mangione, who is the owner of Discovering the World, he then bought the mold from WAMO and kept producing the Pro Frisbee, which is what we use for guts. Dave Bradshaw, of course, who brought back and created the 50th reunion, and kind of that's who the award's named after. So I mean, Wally's in great company for sure.
If people want to follow the sport a little bit, maybe get some you know, details on the schedule, what's the best way for them to do that?
Keweenaw Guts on Facebook would be the best way. We have event pages created for pretty much everything on there. You can also find it on the International Frisbee and USA Guts Hall of Fame Facebook page. Or we got posters around town, or just listen to what we got to say here. Also, a lot of great thanks to the other guys who helped do this. It's not just Dennis Wallachine and myself, but Pete Riley and Tom Tickenen, Pete's wife, Jonna, and you know, Tony Hella for doing our designs. It's just, it's really a group. It takes more than a lot of terms. They have one or two people, but fortunately we've got, you know, like 5, 6, 8 people. And Gail, who has joined us this year to kind of step up and help more. And so it's been good. It's been really great. We're kind of actually growing our community a little bit. I mean, Wally's going to be really sad to lose him, but hopefully we'll have some people. We might take 3 people to fill his shoes, but we'll find somebody.
Well, definitely looking forward to it. Jeff, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. It's good to be here every year.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.